This morning I'd like to read from Deuteronomy chapter 32, verses 1 through 4, and Ephesians chapter 4, verses 4, 5, and 6. Give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak, and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. My doctrine shall drop as the rain. My speech shall distill as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender earth, and as the showers upon the grass, because I will proclaim the name of the Lord. Ascribe ye greatness unto our God. He is the rock. His work is perfect. For all his ways are just, a God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 4, 5, and 6. There is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all.
We would like to read from the book of Hebrews, the 9th chapter, from the 24th through the 28th verses. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us, nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. May this God give us power through his word.
Let us pray, please. Father, Lord God, we praise you this morning. Father, we come into this sanctuary to honor you and to worship you, Lord, because we serve only you and we worship only you. Lord, I ask now that the Holy Spirit of God would fill this place so completely that, Father, what is done here today will be a sweet, sweet fragrance to you. Father, we just now lift up our speaker to you. Lord God, we ask that you anoint him with the power of God, that he, as he speaks the words, that they will come forth. And Lord, we know that your word says that your word, when it goes forth, that it will accomplish what you set it out to do. And Lord, we're standing on that word this morning. Lord, we just praise you now. We thank you for Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. And it's to him, Father, that we dedicate this service. In his name we pray. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you, fellas. Many people have asked me, how do you get to speak in chapel? And it depends on the way they ask you as to what they're really meaning. Some say, how do you get to speak in chapel? Like, I want to know, you know, what do you do to get to speak in chapel? But then others say, how do you get to speak in chapel? And you know what they're implying by that. Well, it's simple. You volunteer to serve with Dr. Hahn and Dr. Miles and Dr. Scoggins on the chapel committee, and they say, we got a vacancy, you're going to do it. But you don't really want to. I've asked God to forgive me for preparing and being more nervous and sweating more over this message than I usually do for my Sunday morning services at that church that I pastor in Oxford. But praise God, I'm here. And I'm here not to show my peers that I can preach or to show my professors that I've learned a little something, but I'm here to bring a message from God. That's what I've been called to do as a minister of His gospel, I believe. And that's the thought that I want to keep uppermost in my mind as I stand before you this morning. Amen. There's been one ever since I can remember, and it usually takes place the third Sunday in October, usually at Magnolia Springs State Park, just a few miles north of the small town of Millen, Georgia. The last time I was in attendance was in 1979, and there were over 125 people there that day. It's called the Roberts Family Reunion. And everybody that is there has the last name Roberts, or either one of their parents' last name was Roberts. My mother was a Roberts, the daughter of Leslie Joseph Roberts. And because of that, we go to the Roberts Family Reunion. We have a great time. It's wonderful to see all those family members and the cousins that we haven't seen for a long time. And Mama's always embarrassing my sister and me when she drags us up to somebody and says, you know who this is, don't you? And we say, well, you know who this is, well. And then she finally tells us this is our long-lost cousin or great-aunt so-and-so that we haven't seen for 5 or 6 years. But I like those family reunions because I'm big on the family. And I'm appreciative for my family helping me out this morning. Dr. Lolly's always talking about this is our family here. In the bulletin last week, there was somebody encouraging us to be a part of the family. And I'm thankful for these fellows down here, Scott White and Barry Bryant and Richard Croxton and Ray Bennett, who brought us that beautiful music, and especially Wayne Rogers serving as our instrumentalist this morning. Colin Lambert, who read our scripture, and Dr. Spencer, who's going to have the benediction. They're part of my seminary family. Freddie Watkins is one of the deacons at Knott's Grove Baptist Church, where I serve as pastor. He's also Sunday school superintendent, chairman of building and ground committee, a trustee, and a few other things. He read the call of worship this morning. He's part of my church family. And that pretty thing that you saw up here praying a while ago, who can pray down all kind of things from heaven, and who has a gift of intercessory prayer, I believe, and who is my fellow minister at Knott's Grove Baptist Church, is my wife, part of my physical family. I'm big on the family. And every year, my mother likes for my sister and me and all the parts of our family to appear at that family reunion, Magnolia Springs State Park in Millen, Georgia. And it's been 3 years since we've been there. One day, maybe we'll get to go back. It won't be this year, though. But she likes for us to make an appearance there. Now, speaking of appearances, in the scripture that Colin read a while ago, he talked about Jesus making some appearances. In Hebrews chapter 9, and I hope you'll refer back there in your Bibles, and I dare to even say that because I wouldn't even ask you to hold up your Bibles this morning if you have them. But let me tell you something, friends. I believe when we come to a place of worship, we ought to have our Bibles with us. Now, it doesn't matter what your theological stance is. I mean, well, Dr. Eddins, if he were up here, he would say it like this. You know, the Bible is one of our major sources of theology. You know, we ought to have it. Dr. Phil Beck would say, in your Bibles, did you bring to chapel every day? Dr. Scoggins, man, you ought to bring your Bible. We ought to have our Bibles with us, I believe. when we come to a theological place to study what God has to say to us, and especially when we come to a place of worship, we ought to have those Bibles. In Hebrews chapter 9, it talks about some appearances that Jesus made. In the 26th verse there, it says, He hath appeared. And it was talking about, I did a little research and study on this thing, and that is a Greek word there, believe it or not, the original Greek word, and it's from the Greek word phanerao, and it's a past perfect. That means it's already happened. Jesus hath appeared. Now, this word appear is found three times in this passage of Scripture. There in the 24th verse, the 26th verse, and the 28th verse. But the author of the book of Hebrews used three different words. He used three different words. Phanerao means to, that's the Greek root from which it comes. It means to render apparent. And one source that I read says that it means that it has appeared as one who has been hidden. And the significance here is the high priest, when he steps out from behind the curtain, he renders himself apparent. Jesus rendered himself apparent 2,000 years ago in that place of Bethlehem. He stayed on the earth in physical form for 30 or so years, and then he was crucified. But as I like to say, he didn't stay dead. He was resurrected. And why did he do all of this? It tells us there in verse 26, to put away sin. To put it away. He is the only one that could have done it. The only one throughout all the ages of creation that's been here. He's the only one that could put away sin. The high priest could not do it. Abraham, Jacob, Isaac, all those guys could not do it. The Pope can't do it. Our professors can't do it, and we seminarians can't do it. No evangelist, no preacher, no apostle anywhere could put away sin. Jesus Christ is the only one that could put it away. It would be funny if we woke up in the morning and all the shades in the bedroom were closed and it was still dark, even though we knew it was 7 or 7:30, and it was light on the outside. And if we looked over and if we told our wife, well, I'm going to get up and open up the shades and let some of the light in. We would look at her rather funny if she said, well, first of all, you got to get rid of the darkness. No. We open up the shades to let the light in, and the light chases away the darkness. How often have we heard people say, well, I want to become a Christian. I know I need more religion in my life. I know I need to make a change, but I got to change a few things first. Jesus Christ is the only one that could put away sin. That's the reason he made that first appearance. And we need to let him come in. Let him put away the sin. He made a second appearance there in verse 24. It says, but into heaven itself now to appear in the presence of God for us. The Greek word, the Greek root is emphanizo. And this means to render apparent or to appear. And one source said as in a legal sense. I know exactly what that means. When I was 18 years old, I had to appear in a legal sense. Three times, straight in a row, within 4 months' time, about the same time of night, at the same speed, 85 miles an hour, the same deputy sheriff pulled me over. On the third time, it wasn't just pay a $35 fine and don't do that again, son. That time it was call my daddy, pay a $105 fine, and appear in court in 3 weeks' time. I was making an appearance in a legal sense. And I don't know what I know there's a lot of stuff here in the book of Hebrews that, well, it's sort of like a theological diving board that we can jump into a whirlpool of all kind of doctrinal differences here. But I believe that Jesus Christ, and I believe one of the central themes of the book of Hebrews is he is our high priest. And he is before the Father in a legal sense for us as our mediator. That is the appearance that he is making now. Our intercessor, our high priest. And that is the appearance that he is making now, that he wants to make, that he will continue to make until he makes his third appearance, which is mentioned in verse 28. He shall appear the second time without sin unto salvation. He's going to appear a second time, it says, and all the eschatology that goes along with that. He's coming back. I don't know whether it's pre-trib, post-trib, mid-trib, or when, but he's coming. One of these days. Now, the thing about it, I want to tie all this in now, is those appearances that Jesus made were at what I think were family reunions. The first time he made an appearance was in that town of Bethlehem. What were they doing? All the house and lineage of David. It was some kind of big party in Bethlehem when all those family members of David got together for that family reunion. And in that manger, in that small stable, Jesus made an appearance. And I think after the resurrection and then the ascension, it was some kind of joyous occasion in heaven when he was reunited again with his family, the spiritual family, God the Father. All the angels rejoiced, and there was Jesus the Son. He'd come home. But let me tell you, the greatest reunion of all is yet to be when he makes his third appearance. When he makes his third appearance, and all the family of God will be reunited once again from all points on the earth, everywhere, reunion, family reunion. And I think that that is the message for today, is that we are family. Now, the trustee that spoke last week was hitting on this subject. Several people have hit on this subject in the biblical recorder and all of our estate papers. But I think it's something that we can never forget, that we are a family. Jesus made his first appearance to die for the family, to put away sin. He is appearing now before the Father for the family members, for us. And he'll return again for the family, for all of us. Now, when we have that Roberts family reunion every third Sunday in October of each year, there's a lot of different people there. And there's some that I'd just rather not see. And there's some I want to run up to and hug and kiss. And that's the way it is in every family. There are differences. But we have to remember, the old saying is very true, blood is thicker than water. And praise God for the blood of Jesus that was shed for this family. And I think that it's our responsibility as family members to bring others into the family. Bring others into a family. A family is husband and wife, you know, they get married, and one of the things they usually want to do is have children, start their own family. And of course, our parents want us to do that. They can't wait to be grandparents. Well, I think God wants us to bring other family members in. And how do we do it? By sharing these appearances of Jesus with them. He has appeared to put away sin. He's appearing now before the Father as our intercessor, our mediator. And he will appear again to take us home. Don't you want to be a part of it? That is the good news. That is the message that brings others into the family. And it doesn't matter whether we're Baptist or Methodist. It doesn't matter whether we're charismatic or Pentecostal or Catholic or what. No matter what our theological stance is, liberal, conservative, moderate, we're all part of the family. We're all part of the family. And it's up to us to bring others into the family. And we're going to have our differences, but we're still in the family. Let me close by reading from the book of Galatians, chapter 3, verses 26 through 29. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise.
Shall we stand for the benediction? Let us pray. May the Lord who sought you when you were astray, and the Spirit who taught your heart to fear, and who administered to your fearful heart the word of grace, And may Jesus Christ, who died for your sins and who lives as your intercessor, watch over your going out as he has watched over your coming in. In his name. Amen.